So, welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from the year 2001 and before. And today we've got robots on our table, and we've got sci-fi kind of books and things, because we're watching Lost in Space. And this is the series from 1965 to 68. Three series, each series about 29 episodes or something, so they were really long series.
Yeah, about 50 minutes long each.
About 50 minutes long each, so it was a really intensive 3 years for the cast of that. So we're here with Gypsy.
Hello.
Angus.
Hello.
Lisa.
Danger, danger, danger.
Jeanette.
Hi.
Mackenzie.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hey.
Don't be the kidsy one, but no, I can't be kidsy then, Mackenzie.
Trying to out-cute the kid here.
Yeah, nah.
There are some goals that you just shouldn't even set.
Yeah.
I thought this was like a short, you know, Adam's Family or Batman, where the episodes went for like 25 minutes or something.
The initial proposal for it was really serious. So there's like a character in this that's kind of the comic relief. In the pilot, they didn't exist. They weren't.
No comic relief yet.
Wow. There was no robot. It was deadly serious. This family is trapped in outer space.
When did you say it was made?
1965.
Oh, so it was after Star Trek.
Yeah, it was sort of based on Swiss Family Robinson. There was a comic Space Family. Robinson Crusoe. There was also a comic Space Family Robinson.
Of course.
But the original design for this.
Yes, it wasn't supposed to be set in space originally. The guy that conceived that wanted it set on Earth, but because of the space program, they said, no, it's going to be out in space. So that's why they don't actually do a lot of travelling around in space.
Yeah, so originally it was supposed to be set on an island where they just stay on the island.
Which is Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah, right? Which is Swiss Family Robinson, but yeah.
Oh, so then that's why their surname's Robinson.
That's right.
Hey!
So, Gypsy, have you seen Lost in Space before?
I've seen an episode or two. Funnily enough, it's my fiancé's favourite TV show.
Oh, that's very strange.
And I also know, because of that, Angus used to look up to and respect Will Robinson, so we gave it a watch. So, yes, I have seen an episode or two. Thank you.
An episode or two, yeah. And Lisa, have you seen it?
I think I maybe watched an episode when I was a kid. And I watched the 90s movie at the cinema with Matt LeBlanc. And
98,
And I took my dad, because he loved Lost in Space when he was a kid, and he was so excited. And I think it was like a Father's Day thing. Took him along, and we watched it, and we walked out, and he went, well, that was awful.
I've never seen the movie, but I've heard, these two complain. Justin complain about how terrible the movie was.
To be fair, they complain about a lot of things.
Okay, so Alex, have you seen Lost in Space before?
Not a single frame. I saw in the movie, and I don't remember anything from the movie apart from they were lost in space. Shocking, I know,
Okay, Angus, have you seen Lost in Space before?
I'm a very big fan of Lost in Space. When the night of our last podcast, when we decided next recording was going to be Lost in Space, I immediately went upstairs and went, what's the best episode to watch? And opened it up and went through it. And
that Bill Mooney night, was it? That was the night when we were here. Did you all go home and listen to the Fishhead song?
I listened to the Fishhead song.
I was really disappointed that song didn't end up on the podcast.
It's going to end up on this one.
I thought
I'll put an attachment to this one.
Oh, dear.
That's so good. But we nailed it, didn't we? Alex and I nailed it.
Listeners, leave now. While you can.
Run
while you can.
Danger, Robinson.
So, Jeanette.
Yes, well, I used to stay up very late at night and record it so the kids could watch it.
I remember the ads. The ads were very, very dodgy.
Child-friendly ads in a children's TV
cool
show.
Cool last for a fun conversation.
There's nothing better than taping like an old TV show. It's a lost art now, because you used to tape it all on VHS.
Yes.
And it used to always be like, oh, damn, I didn't take out the commercials when I taped this. Yeah. Now it's like, oh, awesome, I can watch all of the old dodgy commercials.
Yeah. I like that on YouTube, you can just use five videos, would have edited out the program and just have put the commercials up.
Oh, yes.
And the weird thing is, it always ends up being like not necessarily local. It's like, say, from some random TV station in the US or from the local station in Broken Hill or something weird like that. Have old ads.
Random ads.
So this was my pick, and it was my pick because when I was a kid, this is really what got me into science, actually.
Oh.
So As a 10-year-old, I was running around collecting containers to take to Alpha Centauri with me because the trip was coming up. NASA had just gone to the moon or something like that. So I was expecting it would be any time now.
So the Christians believed in the rapture, you believed in Alpha Centauri.
In Alpha Centauri, that's right. And yeah, I learned a lot of science. And not that Lost in Space is very scientific at all.
No, not very.
Yeah, I just assumed it was just going to be camp all the way through.
Mm. Yeah, but it didn't start that way. It started as a family heading to Alpha Centauri in a spaceship, and there's a terrorist aboard, and the terrorist is Dr. Smith. He's part of a foreign government, and he's a creepy
Russian
individual.
Russian.
They don't mention his nationality, but he disposes of a guard and puts him down a rubbish chute and things like that, and then ruins the ship and then gets stuck on it, so he can't escape.
Posing as the family sort of thing working with the ship. And so when they're like, what are you doing on the ship still? He's basically trapped, wanting to get back more than any of the others.
Yeah. So then he has to survive his own sabotage. He's sabotaged the robot. The robot's going to destroy the whole ship. He's sabotaged the astronavigator and all these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit meteor swarms and their hyperspace thing goes off and they end up lost in space and crash land on a planet. And the earliest stuff, there's no humour. It's deadly serious. Yep. That first scene where they're crash landing on the planet while they're all in suspended animation is one of the best sci-fi scenes.
Very nice, visually interesting, impressive scenes. There was one where they were in a small little vehicle.
Yeah, the chariot.
The chariot. And they were crossing an ocean and they had all these big waves and stuff. And so they're trying to fix the chariot on the outside as the waves are knocking them about and stuff. Visually, it was very impressive for the 60s.
Yeah. So it started out very seriously and then quickly moved downhill to this very camp, cheesy. And we're going to show you the camp and cheesy tonight.
Right.
Camp and cheesy. This is listed as one of the 15th worst episode.
Yes. It's also an absolute favourite.
And it's season 2, episode 16. It's the girl from the green dimension.
So what was the crossover with this and some of the other shows that we've watched? So crossover between the dates with this and Adam's Family what's some of the other 60s ones? The Monkees.
And Batman and
Cameron. Yeah, Adam's Family.
Adam's Family was certainly before this. Yeah,
and Monkees.
Yeah.
And I always got the feeling it had that psychedelic kind of feel to it, that sci-fi psychedelia.
Yeah, it does. If this was at the point of television where they were starting to go colour bit by bit. Season 1's black and white.
Season 1 is black and white and season 2 is colour. So we're watching that colour.
Would be Girl from the Green Dimension.
I can't remember it because this is the second one in which the girl from the green dimension appears. I don't know which series the first episode was in. Was it in the beginning? Was it in series 1? I think it might be in black and white. So the first episode with the green woman was in black and white.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think. Yeah, maybe it's the same way like how Safe Old Beeble Brox has two heads and it's incredibly funny for an audio play and it's funny for books, but it's really hard to do for TV.
So this starred, it had John Robertson, who played by Guy Williams. He was sort of this swashbuckling
Sinbad.
He played Sinbad once. He also played Zorro.
It would have been in the original TV series back in the day. Yeah.
His real name is Armando Catalano. And
wasn't his real name.
Guy Williams' name. Yeah. None of these are their real names.
Bill Mooney is Bill Mooney.
So Maureen Robertson, June Lockhart.
Where did I know her from?
It was in an episode of Babylon 5.
She was certainly...
Probably not where Lisa knows
probably not
from.
Either.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in Lassie for 5 years.
She was in Grey's Anatomy. Yeah.
I feel like I know her from somewhere.
And she was also in Petticoat Junction, if you'd ever seen it. Do you remember that?
Which one's Petticoat Junction? Is it like
you've
got Green Acres?
It's sort of connected with Beverly Hillbillies and things like that.
She was also in the Ren and Stimpy show.
Maybe that's where I know her from then.
As Mrs. Brainchild.
Oh my god, critic? And Duckman. Duckman's a good one to add to the list.
Yes.
Duckman's great.
Don West, who was Mark Goddard, pilot of the Jupiter 2. Judy Robertson was there for the male adult audience. Marta Christens, she was from Norway. Penny Robertson, Angela Cartwright. Yeah, she was Sound of Music. She'd actually had a big role. Billy Mummy, he was in lots of things.
Apparently he really, really enjoyed doing Lost in Space and was very upset when it finished.
Oh, how old was he when he finished?
He was 11 when it started, kid.
Yeah, he was in The Twilight Zone, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, things like that, as a child.
He's in Space Command. The movie was also in Deep Space Nine. If you're in that Babylon 5 sci-fi.
Yes,
And Marta Kristen was also in Alfred Hitchcock Presents, so they'd actually acted together before.
Yes. Bill Mooney was in the Ren and Stimpy show as Dr. Brainchild. And so his mother from Lost in Space was playing his wife in the Ren and Stimpy
show. His wife or his mother?
Possibly. I haven't seen the Ren and Stimpy show.
Yeah.
So, and then there's Jonathan Harris, who was in so many different things, playing Dr. Smith. It says here 500 television and movie appearances, voiceovers. Yes, he was a Battlestar Galactica. He was in Zorro, Bonanza, Twilight Zone.
The Mask animated TV show as Satan.
Yes.
As you do.
He was Chuck Norris's vocal coach.
Okay.
Banana Splits, My Favourite Martian.
Banana Splits.
So many different things.
My Favourite Martian?
Apparently, yes. Okay, so we'll get on and watch. we'll watch the Dr. Smith calling the robot a bubble-headed booby with the girl from the green dimension.
Is it going to give it a score of F?
Oh, you give it a score of F?
Fail.
Oh, fail.
Yeah. Grade of F.
Yeah. She whispered in my ear, I'm like, oh my God, what's coming?
Yeah, big fat F.
Yep, big fat F.
So you can't unsee that, can you?
I think I speak for both Mackenzie and I just want that hour back.
Oh my God, we've watched a lot of shows, but I did not expect to say WTF as many times as I did in that episode. What?
And you didn't see the episode with the washing machine where all the clothes come out wrapped in plastic bags. And of course, it's always Mrs. Watkinson that does the washing.
Yeah, of course. Doesn't matter if she's an astrophysicist and she's actually there on her own merit. She still has to do the washing and the dishes.
In this, she is an astrophysicist. I think she's just John Robinson's wife.
No.
They're all doctors. They all own. Yeah, okay. They're a very strong scientific family. Even the first daughter.
But the sexism is real.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So heavily real.
They were trying their best to dodge the racist implications of when Will Robinson turned green and say, like, oh, he's not normal sort of thing.
Yeah, they're like, oh, but we love you just the way you are, but we want him back to how he was.
Yeah, trying to dodge potential racial implications there. So at least they were trying on that one.
Yes.
Not very well.
No, not very well, but...
So that Athena, that was acting of a different caliber, wasn't it? Way.
Understand.
I don't know, I think I liked her more than Mr. Smith.
Of Dr. Smith.
Yeah.
I love the way that he was kind of implying that he was heterosexual, but it was pretty obvious he wasn't. Like,
I think it's just queer coding. It's how they did all the villains back in the day.
Yeah.
He was lying.
He was lying? When was he lying?
He said he wasn't a scaredy cat. He was.
He was a scaredy cat, wasn't he? That's one of his things that he does on the show, is that he pretends he's brave. But you notice he would put, like, the boy in front of him, so then if he got attacked, the boy would get hurt first.
He's a terrible person. He uses the children as shields throughout the show.
Yes.
And not
the
just
children
well.
Are younger.
Exactly.
Not the children.
Yep.
I think you showed me the pilot episode, and I really liked the pilot episode, but...
This is where it goes.
Yeah.
It gets worse than that. That is not the low point.
This is the good camp episode.
Yeah. Yeah. The low point is where Dr. Smith ends up being a carrot. So that's counted as one of the 15 worst episodes.
But there are a couple of, like, fun episodes. I do genuinely quite enjoy this show, especially Dr. Smith's characters, but some of them are just, like, really just outright strange. Like The Knight. Earlier on as well.
What the hell?
In the first series, there's a cowboy who lands on the planet they're on. He apparently launched a space rocket in the 1800s and disappeared. And it's just like,
what?
Yeah. Some of the plot points are just really strange. Yeah,
can someone explain? I mean, I don't care about spoilers right now. Just tell me what the point of the night was, because that just, I can't even comprehend what that's about.
I don't know what the knight specifically probably about, some... but I think he's an alien questing knight or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
oh,
God.
Who's looking for the questing beast. And
Some person that liked D&D just wanted to shove a knight into a sci-fi TV show, because that's what they do.
Yeah. And almost certainly they just had the costume lying around and thought, how can we use this?
I reckon the writing staff were out of their gourd and they were just like, they were just drunk or high one night and went, what if we put a knight in there? 60s, oh my God.
Probably cocaine.
Yeah.
By the stage, what the whole premise of everything was, some visitor arrives, causes some problem that they have to deal with. Dr. Smith finds himself in trouble. And then
the rest of the family go, he got himself into that mess.
As a Will saves him or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Just as well Will's there, because otherwise nothing would freaking happen. Yeah. Is it just me or were the other characters kind of interchangeable?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even know who the father was. At one point there was like one guy talking and another... like a blonde guy or something, and then a brown-haired guy. They're both similar, one's slightly thinner than the other.
Thinner and younger.
Yeah, that's about it.
And so much velour. Oh my God.
Hey, now don't knock the velour. That was probably the best part of it. The dumbest part was like, but he's green. And the robot's talking smack about the colour green, and the parents are wearing the colour green. That's more green than the green that the person from the green dimension was supposed to be.
The robot and Will Robinson are definitely the best parts of the show.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when that robot was trying to...
the show.
When the robot was trying to tell the doctor he needed to fight to the death, he's like, I've already signed you up, it's happening. I've already written you off. And it's like, oh, that robot is savage!
The robot's my spiritual animal. Yeah. When you bring TV shows to... cult TV club.
I can't remember why, but once or twice, Dr. Smith knows how to reprogram the robot, and so he reprograms it a couple of times to attack the Robinsons and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I think it just doesn't happen. They take a control pack from his side, and that's it. The robot shuts down, and the robot has these moments of having a plot revolve around them, but mostly it's just there in the background as this brutal comic relief.
One of the best episodes in Lost in Space is Into the Robot. This has been used ever since in all sorts of sci-fi things where...
Into the Dalek.
And it was sort of Fantastic Voyage stuff where they...
Oh, so they shrunk down and went inside and trolled something.
It was actually the opposite. The robot grew to a huge size. It had been affected somehow by radiation, grew to a huge size, so they had to enter the robot and go and fix it.
God.
And all the antibodies, you know, robotic antibodies.
I don't remember that at all. Oh, wow. I watch more Lost in Space. You'll be pleased to hear that, Chip.
The serious episodes are not representative.
Yeah, no, they're not. They don't represent the show as a whole, which is just this garbled mess.
It gets very camp. It's fun to watch those early episodes and see how it changed.
Even watching the first pilot episode and then the first series, how much it changed. It already becomes less serious.
Oh, yes, just from the pilot.
From that jump.
The theme song was good. I've got to give that props.
Oh, yes, it's fantastic.
And I'm not going to sing it because this won't be another singing episode. But
so, Alex, what did you think of it?
I thought it was weird.
Would you rate it F like Mackenzie and I?
I rate it average. Like, if it wasn't for the snarky robot, I think I probably would be bored. Mm. Yeah.
You were laughing raucously all the way through.
Yeah, just a few things. There's a few things that just...
There are moments, funny moments, more just like this is really crappy to see.
That's like it's mocking laugh at it.
It's laughing at it sort of thing, and how
laughing at it and going out of your way to watch it are two completely different things.
I approve of the robot's characterization though.
The robot's good.
I can understand why you liked Will Robinson as a kid.
Yeah, there was a couple of moments where Will Robinson in one of the early episodes, it's something that stood out to me so much when I watched it recently. He was looking into a telescope and going, oh wow, but he reacted before he looked into the telescope. It was like, oh come on.
I thought the kid was mostly a really good actor.
Yeah, yeah. He was actually an actor.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You had the adults, and then you had him, and he was better than the adults.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting him to be more Wesley Crusher, but he was actually really quite
I think
good.
He's like what Wesley Crusher was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The science in this series is absolutely god awful. Things happen like, even in series one where they're trying to be serious, they're doing things like they have a meteor go by.
It's a comet.
A comet go by. And they almost get burnt to death by the comet as it goes by. The comet's made of one slice.
Yeah.
And
which is interesting because the lumps of ice would probably be warmer than the space around the ship anyway.
Maybe, yeah.
So it would be warmer in comparison,
but
not hot enough to melt, like, half.
Oh, no, they're about to die because they're outside the spaceship in their suits.
And they're passing out from the heat.
Passing out
stuff.
From the heat. the
when it would still be, like, negative 100 degrees Celsius, if not thousands. And...
Mackenzie, did you like the episode? Was there anything you liked in there? What was your favourite bit and the silliest bit?
I think if her answer is silence,
yeah.
That's
a pretty good indicator.
Is there anything you liked or anything you didn't like?
When the big man, he touched the little boy, I think that was really silly.
No one should stand near a dangerous thing. That's just silliness, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Will Robinson's a bit silly, is he?
Yeah.
He's a bit dangerous.
So, Lisa, what did you think of it?
Yeah, you were right. Definitely campy, definitely cheesy, definitely got a touch of the dodginess, but I could just hate watch all of this.
Yeah.
Maybe this episode was less sexism, maybe?
Yeah. Well, there is sexism all the way through it.
There are better and
worse. There are better and worse.
It comes into a pit that you're going, ooh, I love Pretty Man.
The thing is, they try and avoid outright obvious sexism sort of thing in a lot of cases. Dr. Smith is dodgy as a person just generally, but that's more or less the character.
Yeah, and also
so a lot of the sexism
is that
not mentioned, like, expectations on women sort of thing, like doing the laundry and handling the cooking.
Oh, yeah, they're always doing the cooking.
Oh,
the gardening is the big one. Although you sometimes have Will help out with the gardening, but like you never see the men. Yeah, that's the thing. They do have moments where the characters are stronger, so there'll be one or two episodes where one of the characters is lost.
Lost in space.
Yeah, lost in space. And Mrs. Robinson will go, "Now I'm looking for my son," pushing one of the characters out to a side, so almost, but not literally. And then strapping a jetpack on and going off flying, looking. And so there's moments where she goes, "No, I don't care if I'm a woman, I'm doing this." Yeah. But it's always got that drive of, it's my
family
member out there.
It's the maternal
instinct behind it. So it's
not her being brave, it's her being a mother.
Yes. That's the thing.
Which is really annoying because that's not what being a woman is about.
Exactly.
So there's still heavy sexism in it.
There are a few Penny episodes where Penny's on her own. Three, Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, so she actually does get storylines in this because she really didn't even need to be in this episode at all.
Well, one of the daughters wasn't. The oldest of the daughters.
There's an oldest daughter,
Billy. Judy wasn't in that one at all.
You do see her in one scene.
Yes,
at the funeral.
I like the Netflix version a lot more.
By comparison?
Anything
we've been in?
I've seen the Netflix version and I've seen this. Because I've seen like an episode or two of Netflix version, and I like the Netflix version. I feel like it makes a bit more.
Yeah. I like the Netflix version too. Very different though.
It is very different.
I think is the Netflix version basically like every other sci-fi series right now?
So
have you watched much of the Netflix one?
I've watched two episodes, as stated before. But I liked it a lot more.
I watched the whole series of the Netflix one, and one of the things they do in it is they make Dr. Smith utterly irredeemable. Like, they've got Dr. Smith locked in a...
Spoilers.
That is a spoiler
on the show.
Yeah, it is a spoiler.
Spoilers.
But they've got Dr. Smith locked in a airlock, and they ask, "Is there anything redeemable about you at all?" And, "No, I'll kill you all."
Oh, yeah.
You know, deadly serious, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a deadly serious Dr. Smith that has no redeeming features at all.
I like that more than what Dr. Smith was portrayed here. Because here it was a half-assed megalomaniac.
Well, I was just looking it up, and the TV series. He's the campy
comic relief.
Yeah, that's
the thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't find him the funny comic relief. I thought the robot did a better job of being the comic relief.
Well, he's the straight man funny man.
Oh, true.
They're a comedy duo.
Which is why they were both added at the same time after the pilot.
So neither of them were. Oh, my God.
Deadly serious. And then they added them to the first episode.
So you're making all the dry characters. And it was straight sci-fi. Which they were hopeless at.
Yes. I was looking up the Netflix one earlier, and Parker Posey plays Dr. Smith. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
She's awesome. I love anything Parker Posey's in. She's really good. It's just that they did something wrong with her.
Yeah, they made her a bit too dark.
And because she does funny, like she does that deadpan funny well. So if she's not pulling that off,
doesn't do any funny.
Yeah,
no funny. I think in second series she's a bit funny.
A little.
I didn't watch the first series, but
it doesn't look like that's what they were going for in the Netflix series.
Just in the two episodes I watched, it didn't look like they were going for comedy value. They were going for.
It would have been hilarious if they completely switched it and just made the entire second series of the Netflix show ridiculous and silly like they did with this one.
I don't think that's
series three. Dr. Smith is a carrot again.
And I'm just thinking of Pickle Rick from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
It's the origin of Pickle Rick is lost in space. Carrot Smith.
So is carrot going to feature in your, you know, what food this is, Angus?
We need to think about food and ratings.
Well, I will admit, a very subjective view on this. I'm a big fan of Lost in Space. As I said, I watched an episode the other week when after our last recording and went...
Which one did you watch?
I watched a series one from series one. It was like series one episode 26, 29 or something. I literally looked up online, what's the best episode sort of thing, and went to the top one.
Small?
No, it was 50 minutes.
Is that the one where John Robinson gets taken over?
Nice.
Yeah, so John Robinson, I'll the father.
Yes, lovely.
But it was an episode where John Robinson gets mentally taken over by some alien warrior sort of thing, and John Robinson basically starts forcing the family into like being really, really serious and taking everything seriously sort of thing, and treats them more like troops as opposed to family members. It ends with Love saving the day as he's on a cliff about to push Will Robinson off the cliff, and Will Robinson's figured everything out and is the only one who's figured everything out, and other people know what's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are unsure as to who the stranger is. The stranger is the father wearing a mask, and he goes, oh, your father's been kidnapped. We need to go rescue him on this other planet. The stranger just wants to get off the planet. But Will Robinson realizes that he's the father, and so he goes to push him off this cliff sort of thing. And at that last moment, Love saves the day. But it was a very serious episode, and it did have those serious tones from the series as opposed to the more comic ones.
Yeah. A good mix of the comic and is War of the Robots.
With
Robbie the Robot, where they actually have two robots. They have the robot from Forbidden Planet.
That's right.
Forbidden Planet being a sort of Shakespearean
tale. That's right. It was inspired by The Tempest.
That's interesting.
Found on the planet sort of thing. And they're like, oh, there's another robot here. And then it's the competition of which robot's better, and they duel at the end.
Okay, so Angus,
what food? You see, the problem is I'm subjective. I was going to throw it back on all of you and say, what food would you rate this? Oh, no, because it still stands up. I think it's amazing. Everyone would disagree with me.
What about those jam tarts that you bought the other day?
No, I'd actually say, to me, because it's such a part of my childhood, but I'd still go back and eat it any day of the week. I'm going to say, and because it's trending right now, fairy bread. I love Lost in Space. Yeah, this is my fairy bread.
Do you think this show's like fairy bread?
No.
What type of food do you think this show is?
Something old and manky in the fridge, something a bit
mouldy. Old cheese.
Old cheese.
Like mouldy cheese.
It is exactly that. It's old cheese.
It's old cheese. Big old ham and cheese sandwich.
Very cheesy. Yeah, so I think that's the audience for it too, is that this is old cheese.
The people who are old and cheese.
Yeah.
People who are into old cheese.
Maybe so like something like, I don't know, like celery or something like, I don't know, some kind of cracker that you're not really a fan of, and you eat it and you go, I didn't even really enjoy that.
Like a bland.
And then you go and eat another one and you're like, why am I still eating this? I don't even really like this. And then you have another one and then in the end they're all gone and you're like, why did I even eat those? Because now I've got a funny tummy and it tastes gross and I wish I hadn't have eaten it at all, but you still ate it.
So,
what the hell's wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with it?
So, lollygobble, bliss bomb, popcorn. Oh my
god, I don't think I've had that since I was like her age.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So. It sounds good.
It's caramelized popcorn.
So, Alex, what food do you think this would be?
I don't know. I'm bad with these kind of food questions. Maybe.
Welcome to my life.
This was thrust upon you, really, wasn't it? This
is some kind of water biscuits, but green and full of sexism.
Ooh, handsome biscuits. Ooh.
Handsome brave biscuit with the funny nose.
I actually love how they did these bewitched Dilly Ling when he does the nose.
Yes. Yeah. There must have been some crossover between that and the...
From the Genie show.
Yeah.
No, not Genie.
No, Bewitched.
Bewitched.
Yeah. No, there was a Genie show before.
Yeah, I dream of Genie. Bewitched
had the nose.
Oh, yeah. From that.
This quarter effect is like just cut. Stop filming and start filming again when they've moved.
Jump cut.
That's the word. Yes.
Mm. So, Gypsy, what food would you rate it?
If you would cook something for me, I'd rate it that, but you don't cook some shit.
Cut. Jump cut. Jeanette, what are you?
I don't think I'd rate it anything, really.
A mouthful of air. Delicious.
I think air's tasty. I don't know. I just really didn't like it.
What was the main thing that was wrong with it?
I think Alex hit the nail on the head with the sexism.
Yeah.
It was so heavily there.
Yeah.
And it was everywhere. And I have this issue with any old show that you guys bring to the table. It hasn't changed at all.
Yeah.
Is that the sexism is real and I don't like it in my TV shows.
It would have been not bad if the pretty girl who goes, "Oh, hey, Dr. Smith," had like 1 ounce of a character other than that. Like she was doing... nefarious and she's gonna
And this was my old boyfriend and you're my new boyfriend, because I only think of like
of men
and I only think of like boyfriends and sex because that's all I think about.
If it was like 1 ounce of like she's using Mr. Smith to do something that's gonna use him he's using her for her future abilities, she used him for something in the same way, then that'd be
would be redeemable. But I'm quite sick and tired of seeing heavy sexism in TV shows. And you said that this has got some serious tones to it and it's got some funny tones to it, but I just saw the funny ridiculous tones and I'm like,
not worth
it. I don't think this episode
had no seriousness at all.
Like there are shows that have got the serious and the funny and they are able to hold that together even in their silly episodes and you're like, hell yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't rate this a food at all because a sausage that you left on the barbecue that probably could have been there, could have been good once, but it's just charred to the inside. And I'm really, really sorry about that too.
Is there a show from this era that isn't heavily sexist?
I actually think first series of Doctor Who.
Yeah, first series Doctor Who.
It is sexist, but not as sexist, and that's because Verity Lambert was at the helm. Yeah. So Barbara's pretty tough, and there's times when they will say, go and make the tea, and she'll say, no, I don't cook. I can't cook. I don't do that. Give me something real to do.
Yep.
I think the American shows...
Yes, this is an American show.
This is the Apple Pie family.
Little family. House on the Prairie in space.
Was
this a 60s show?
Yes.
60s. Did you say 1965?
65.
Yeah.
I think it's probably also the era where if they did anything that's non-neutral, it probably would have gone uproar. It's like having the man do something even vaguely... like, vaguely implying he might do this at some point in the near future would have been scandalous.
Mm.
Yes.
You look at the captain. He's just the manly man.
Well, yeah, I guess he'll be his character if he actually had any character. Because if he had any character, it didn't come through in the show. It's just like, I am the man talking, and I'm the woman talking, and we're talking about the plot. Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm another man talking, and I'm the other man talking, and we are interchangeable. And
another thing that doesn't need to happen in these goddamn shows is explain the plot. Just move on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's like, just because it's written there and you wrote it and it sounds nice, nice doesn't mean it needs to be in the episode. Just show, don't tell.
Yes, yeah. But that requires better writers.
Yeah.
That requires writers.
Clearly it exists. There was a writer's strike all through the 60s.
There may also be the reason why she keeps going, ooh, pretty Dr. Smith all the time as well.
Oh, it was so pointless. Yeah.
That would be the strangest thing to put down on your acting, like, CV as well.
Did she say she loved it?
Yeah, she loved it, and she went to conventions and did the act.
It's the most ridiculous. In the green outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said she named her child...
Her child's name is Athena. And I don't know if...
You don't know which one came first.
It came before or afterwards. Yeah. But I think it was named after her daughter.
Apparently there was the Lucy show. Lucy Ball was depicted as a strong female who didn't rely on a husband.
That's true.
That was after I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
62
Because I was going
to
say, I Love Lucy. Didn't she have a husband there?
She could handle herself.
I've not watched any of the Lucille Ball... Because there was a few different spin-offs, wasn't there?
I don't agree that Bewitched comes under a strong female role because it's a witch that wants to live like a modern-day housewife.
And
the whole witch thing is like empowerment and changing the norms.
Mm. She was tough for the time, but she was still a stay-at-home housewife. Yeah. Her husband went to work and earned the bacon.
Her mum is a witch who views her as, why do you want to do that? Oh, it's horrible.
Why would you want to be a housewife,
etc. But
maybe the mother's the feminist.
But she's actually the baddie, kind of. She's kind of the baddie, not really the baddie, but
Avengers Emma Peel. She was second to Steve, but she's tough. She goes out and fights, and she
actually the Adams family came out at this time, and Morticia was a really strong female character. They did exist back then, in American TV shows, but
that was earlier.
There's a show called Julia, the first sitcom to revolve around a single African-American leading actress.
What year was that, though?
That was 1968 to 1971. Oh, nice. There's one called That Girl, 1966 to 1971.
Which, That Girl's kind of a bit like Mary Tyler Moore show, wasn't it? Which I think she was supposed to be a bit of a feminist.
Mm. Apparently the Dick Van Dyke show did the same thing as well and had strong female characters, but I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no. And I think, have you guys seen WandaVision?
No.
So the first episode of WandaVision, I think, is based on Dick Van Dyke's show, and it's like that old early sitcom stay at home housewife. So whether the wife is a strong character, but she's still the wife that stays up. She's in a very conventional housewife role while the husband goes and
does work.
And I know that's not the only thing that makes a strong female led role, but there's got to be something more than that, I guess. Like you said, you know, the family are all scientists, but she's the one doing the housework.
Never see her actually doing any science.
She would have had the same training. She would know how to do all of this stuff, but still she's doing the housework.
And I think that's where a lot of these shows just fall flat for me.
If there is anyone who listens to this podcast and has any suggestions of shows that do fit what we're looking for in that sense, please suggest them to us because we want to know.
Because I want more strong women,
Well, let's see if we can find one.
Mm. Yes, that's the mission.
I know there's Daria, and I actually think Daria is quite a strong female role. Throwing that one out there.
Is that next week?
Yes.
Join us next time for Daria.
We won't
same
do
time,
Daria next.
Same
it's
channel.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't get it. Everybody wants to watch Daria and not The Night.
It's going to be silly or let down or both, so no.
It's going to be both. Okay, so that's it. Thanks for everybody, and we'll see you next month with Daria.
Yes. Danger.
Pretty Dr. Smith.
So apparently, Dr. Maureen Robinson, the mother, is a biochemist. And has a PhD in biochemistry.
So therefore she knows how to handle proteins in the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
She knows how to do the gardening and cooking.
That's biochemist that majored in housework.
She's got a PhD in it.
In gardening and cooking.
Yeah.
Gardening makes sense then, but not the...
Her status as a doctor is only mentioned in two episodes.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah.